Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. And I'll tell you, I've enjoyed having college students back. And of course, Nathan, no longer a college student, married as an assistant pastor and preached for us Wednesday night. What a blessing. And he did a great job. And just so exciting to see what he's doing. And of course, Kendall and Monica are going to be married in January and graduating in December. And they're going to do something great for God. And praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we want. And we have so many young people in college training and just going to do whatever God wants them to do. And that's what we want. Amen. And that was a good song. What a blessing. 28 times Jesus is called the Lamb in the book of Revelation. 28 times. And we're studying the Revelation, of course, in my Sunday school class. And talking today about all the different things. Just we're kind of on an introduction. And I mentioned that fact that he's called the Lamb, and it only makes sense because Revelation's that's the final chapter. That's and you know to refer back. Hey, without him being the Lamb, the final chapter's not that way. There's not a new heaven. There's not a new earth. We all go to hell is what happens if he's not the Lamb. If he's not the sacrifice, and praise the Lord for that. Well, this is an interesting passage. I take you back to Deuteronomy 1, and it's an amazing passage, really. In fact, recently I've been studying this, and it again, with the book of Revelation, going through some things that really exciting studies. But I preached a couple weeks ago on verse 38, and it says, Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him. I preached about encouraging him. And certainly we need to encourage one another. And that's desperately needed, of course, instead of verse 28, which says, whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Don't discourage people. Amen. Don't discourage each other. We need encouragement. We need to be encouraged. The world is good enough at discouraging us, don't you think? When you come to church, encourage people. Somebody says, how do I look? Tell them they look good whether they do or not. Amen. Amen. I mean, encourage people, encourage folks, and don't be a discouragement. And but here's our text. Our text is in Psalm 78, and we're going to go back because the two of these go together. Psalm 78 is a history of God's people, and Deuteronomy 1 is just one instance that takes place, and one that we're very familiar with. But Psalm 78:41 says this: "Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and watch what they did, and limited the Holy One of Israel," and limited the Holy One of Israel. I've entitled the message this morning, Limiting God. Limiting God. And in Deuteronomy 1, that is one instance of limiting God. And the truth of the matter is, we also limit God often. And it all comes down to this. It comes down to what choices we make. And this morning, the chances are very good. You probably are limiting God in some area of your life. Psalm 78:41, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you imagine that? Can we really limit God? Can you and I, God can do anything. God spoke and everything was. I mean, planets were in space. Can we, human beings, can we actually limit God? Truth of the matter is, all over this room are people who are doing that very thing, limiting God. How sad that is. We read of Israel, and we read this, and we say, how could they possibly not just do what he said? You know, I think God in heaven looks down, I imagine the angels look around, they say, well, those humans are not very smart. Why don't they just do what God said? Don't they understand who God is? What God can do, what he wants to do in their lives, why don't they just do what God said? I want to show you three ways that they and we limit God. And I simply start each of these points off with this. We limit God when we turn down God's offer. We limit God. God is making an offer. And by the way, that turning down of God's offer is summed up this way. Three words. Ye would not. Deuteronomy 1, 26. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up. God said, go up. God said, if you go up, you'll possess the land. God said, take the land. It's yours. I've given it to you. God said, the land that flows with milk and honey, the land I promised you, God said, here it is. All you need to do is just go up and take that land. Ye would not. Oh yes, we limit God when we turn down God's offer. They were confronted with God's offer, and ye would not. God said, here's what I want to do. This is what I'll do for you. I will make you this offer. Ye would not. And you know what they did? They limited God. When we say no, when we say I'm not going to do that, we limit God. God said in verse 21, he said, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up, possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged, but ye would not. You ever been confronted with one of God's offers? I remember the first time I was confronted with God's offer as a teenager, God's offer of salvation, and I would not. Boy, that seems foolish, doesn't it? I mean, here God made an offer to me to be saved. God made an offer to me to have my sins forgiven. God made an offer so that I could go to heaven someday. God made an offer so I wouldn't have to go to hell. And as a teenager, I'm smarter than that. I'm smarter than you, God. God wanted to save me. Are you listening? God wanted to give me eternal life. God wanted to give me a home in heaven. But you know, as a teenager, I said, I don't want to do that. Hey, listen, you've been confronted with that offer too. And if you haven't, you will be today. I'm talking about confronted with an offer from God Almighty to go to heaven someday. I'm talking about being confronted with an offer from God Almighty to not go to hell. The truth is, the Bible says we're all condemned. Everybody, if you don't believe, if you haven't trusted Christ, you are condemned already. God says, I want to make an offer with you. You don't have to go to hell. God says, I want to make an offer. You can go to heaven. The sad thing is, you would not, is said over and over and over and over. See, since the beginning of time, God has made offers to man. Adam and Eve, God made them an offer. I mean, they had the perfect, perfect environment. Isn't it amazing that it was one thing? One thing. By the way, they didn't need that fruit. They had all the food they could possibly want. They had everything they could possibly want. They had everything environmentally that they could possibly want. It was a perfect environment, and there was some fruit that they didn't even need. Are you listening? It was something, they had unlimited access to the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. God said, here's the offer. You can have everything here. There's just one thing, and it's something you don't even need. It's something you don't even have to have. But you can't eat that. That's all. Everything, right there. I mean, you know how bad you want an iPod? Yeah, they had everything. They had, you say, well, they didn't have an iPod. I don't know, maybe they did. They had anything you could possibly need. By the way, you don't need that either. But they had it. They had everything that man could ever want. You hear people today say, well, when everything's perfect on the earth, everybody's going to be happy and all that kind of stuff. Listen to me. As long as there's that one thing out there that you want so bad that you would disobey God to get it, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. God made him an offer and said, you've got the whole Garden of Eden. Everything is there for you. It is perfect, but you would not. Ye would not. Huh? He says, Adam, God says, Adam, I gave it all to you, but ye would not. I gave you everything. I made you an offer, Adam. All I said, hey, you can have all of this. Everything is for you. Everything is designed for you, Adam. It's perfect for you. And it's perfect for Eve. But she would not. Because I told you, there's fruit on that tree in the midst of the garden. You can't eat that. You can eat anything else you want. Here's oranges. Here's a T-bone steak. Well, I don't know about that. But Adam, I gave it all to you. You would not. You say, I can't. That is so hard for me to imagine. Well, we do it every day, though. Huh? We do it every day. We don't need, hey, that sin you committed this morning, you didn't have to do that. Last night, what you did, you didn't need that. What you looked at, you didn't need to look at that. What you listened to, you didn't need to listen to that. Where you went, you didn't need to go. We didn't need that. We don't need what we do as a sin. We don't need it. Amen. Somebody better amen or I'm going to think we've become Methodist. I'm starting to get nervous, honestly. I'm thinking, boy, what happened to these people over Thanksgiving? You just can't get an amen. You're afraid if you amen, you'll belch, right? I know how it is. You just did. No. But hey, you know, God says, Adam, I've given you everything, but ye would not. And you know what that does? That limits God. What God wanted to bless Adam and Eve. God wanted them to live in a perfect environment. God wanted all of that for them and everything He had for them. They limited. Simply because they would not. And that's what we do too. And so when Adam did that, now the wages of sin is death. Now the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Because man sinned. And God said in the law, you know, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's only one way for you to pay for your sin. That's to go to hell for all eternity. Phew. And then God paid the bill for us. See, God just keeps making offers to man. Why? Because for God so loved the world, because He loves us. He paid a debt I could not pay. And so He makes an offer again. In Isaiah 1:18, fantastic words, come now and let us reason together. Can you imagine that? God Almighty wants to reason with puny us. Come now, He says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And God says, I want to make an offer to you. God says, I'm confronting you with an offer. And I can't imagine anybody turning this thing down. God says, I will send my Son, Jesus Christ. He'll die on a cross. He'll pay for your sin. So you can be saved. He will be the Lamb. And He'll die for you. And God makes the offer. Oh, how many have said, I'm not interested. How many have said, and again, here we are limiting God. God offers eternal life to every individual, every man, every woman, every teenager, every child. God offers eternal life. God has made it all possible. There's plenty of land in heaven to build your mansion on. There's plenty of material to construct that mansion. And God has made that possible. And by us saying, no, God, we're limiting Him. We turn down God's offer. Hard to believe. He offers mercy because we deserve punishment. He offers grace. We don't deserve heaven. And we limit His mercy. And we limit His grace. And we miss heaven. And we go to hell because you would not. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've heard before. Maybe you've heard sitting right here. Maybe, you know, you've deceived people for many, many years. And well, now it'd just be too embarrassing to. Do you understand you're limiting God? God makes you an offer. God made it possible. God sent His Son Jesus to die. I mean, here we are celebrating Christmas, and I know the rest of the world doesn't have a clue, but we have a clue. We know what Christmas is all about. And we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, not as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He comes as a Lamb to be slain for us. And you say, I don't want that. I'm not interested in that. I might be embarrassed. Hey, they stripped Him naked and hung Him on a cross like a chunk of meat, bleeding for you and me. And you say, I'm not interested in you. Limit the God who loves you. Yeah, you understand the only limit to salvation is you and me. It's just us. It's our decision. That's the only limit. And yesterday, folks knocked on doors, went soul winning. Through the week, people knocked on doors, went soul winning. Maybe at a Thanksgiving dinner, someone talked to someone, and they presented that wonderful plan of salvation through the book of Romans, maybe, or maybe in the book of Revelation, or maybe in the book of John, and just showed people, Jesus loves you. And Jesus knows that we're all sinners and we deserve hell. And Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin so we could be saved. And if you call on Jesus to come into your heart, He'll save you today. And all over the area, people said, I don't have time for that. I'm not interested in that. And by that, they limit God who wants to give them a home in heaven. If that's you today, how foolish that is. Please say, well, Adam and Eve, they were foolish. Wow, they had all that stuff to eat. They had all the things they could ever want. They had a perfect environment, and they had to have that. I ask you this question. What would keep you from being saved today? Israel sure seemed foolish as well, as God said, here's the promised land. It's all yours. Go in and take it. And they said, no, we got other ideas. We want to do our own thing. And Hebrews 3, verse 19 says they could not enter in because of unbelief. And you know what? They turned down God's offer. And things were never the same for them again. And I got news for you. When you turn down God's offers, things are never the same. They're never the same. Look at Matthew 23, verse 37. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible. Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said this, he said, I will give you rest. And over, Christians, lost people, walk out of church and I got my own plan, my own idea. He said, I'll give you rest. And you fret and you worry and you wake up in the middle of the night and you soak your pillow with tears. And he says, I'll give you rest. Come unto me, I'll give you. And we just kind of leave him out. Oh, we go see loan officers and we go see bankers and we go see relatives and we go see this and we go see that and we read this and we read that and we find the latest book on how to, get through this crisis and all these different things. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, hey, come unto me. But you would not. And you know what you've done? You've limited him. We limit God when we turn down God's offer. He wants to save you today. He wants to give you life, but He also wants to give you abundant life. Don't limit God. We limit God when we turn down God's offer with the words, ye would not. Number two, we limit God when we turn back from God's objective. Yeah, when we turn back from God's objective. And we do that with these three words, ye did not. Yeah, our text in Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They turned back here, right here in their hearts. In their hearts, they said, you know what? Yeah, Deuteronomy 1:32 says what they said. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. It's when you did not. You did not. You know, God says, I have a plan for your life. But you didn't do it. Turn back from God's objective. Abraham left everything. He left all. He left his property. He left his land that he had, all the things that Abraham had. And the Bible says he did that because simply he believed God. But ye did not believe. Ye do not believe. And you turn back from God's objective. There's college students, happens all the time. You know, God's called me to fill in the blank there. Many, many things. Go to Bible college and things are tough. Huh? Yeah, and God has a plan. God has it all worked out. God has it all figured out. But things are kind of tough. And we turn back from God's objective. I'm amazed how many young people, you know, I really believe this is what God wants me to do when I get older, and I'm going to do this thing, and that's God's objective for my life. And we turn back from it. Ye did not. Why? Ye did not believe. Ye did not. Abraham, the Bible says over in Romans 4, look at it real quick. Romans chapter 4. And verse 20. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And I mean, it's happened day in, day out with you and I. You know, we know that God said he would do this. We believe to a certain point God will do this. But the truth of the matter is, then we stagger. Because of our unbelief. It says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And I look around often at Christians, and I think, you know, that's probably why they're not giving glory to God, because they don't believe it. You know what? You're missing out. Because God has an objective. God has a plan. It was God's will that Abraham experience Canaan. It was God's will that he go to what is called the promised land. It was God's promise. It was provided for him. It was provided for his people. It was God's objective for his life. Every human being in this room, God has an objective for your life as well. Each of us. And the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And you know what? When we do not those steps, we're turning back from God's objective for our life. And it's the perfect thing for our lives. Let me narrow it down a little bit. Family. Family. God has a perfect will regarding family. I'm talking about a spouse. There's folks all over this room. You feel like I just wish I hadn't married so soon, or I wish I would have waited on God or something like that. And by the way, you need to make the best of what you have. But I'm just saying, I preach to our teens. I preach to young people. Hey, listen, God has somebody for you. He has somebody somewhere. I'll get a teenager in my office sometimes, and I'll say, and they'll start asking about their future and different things. And maybe it's not a teenager, maybe a college student or something. And I'll say, you know, if God has a spouse for you, think about where they might be right now, what they might be doing right now. And why? I want them to understand God is God. He knows us. He knows everything. You suppose God knows what I needed in a wife? That's why I'm happy. I mean, I can't imagine being happier. Do you suppose God knew what she needed in a husband? And all over. That's the truth. But yet, but he's such a hunk. Someday he's going to be a chunk. And he's going to cause you fits. And you're going to be in my office saying, oh, preacher, I messed up. Don't mess up. Don't mess up. Don't turn back from God's objective. Do what God tells you to do. Yeah, God has he has a plan for children. It's just amazing to think about. And we turn back from God's objective and we miss what God has for us. I guarantee all over this room there's people that you've missed it. You missed it. Now, he can, I mean, certainly God has, so many good things for his people. I'm just saying, don't miss what God has for you. Don't miss anything God has for you. We turn back from God's objective. We do it in regards to family. We do it in regards to future. God has a job for everybody to do. Well, I wish I had a job. You know what? You may have to go out and dig ditches for a while, but God has a job for everybody to do, and it's perfect for you. God has a ministry for everybody. God has something for you to do in church and a way to serve Him. Yeah, but we miss it, and we turn back. And that's why things are such a mess right now, because somewhere in the past, you didn't think about the future. And you made some wrong choice, and you turned back from God's objective. Why? You did not believe. You did not. You did not. Family, future, and then fruit. I'll be honest with you. You know why so many people are miserable is because they have no clue what they're doing here. No clue. What is the result of my life? Well, the word used is fruit. Fruit. What's the result of an orange tree? Leaves? You ever try to eat them? That's weird. I mean, the fruit of an apple tree. Leaves? Bark? Yeah, we know what fruit is. The result of your life. It's His objective for you. And He has it all outlined. He has it all planned out, and it's perfect for you. Are you listening to me, teenager? Yeah, but I like this or I like that. Listen to me. God knows what you love. God knows what you will love. He knows where you will be the happiest. He knows where you'll have the most joy. He knows what's best for us. Why would we limit Him by turning back from His objective for our lives? We have this idea, well, you know, God, He'll probably make me a missionary in Alaska or something. Oh, don't you get it? If He makes you a missionary in Alaska, that is where you will be the most thrilled. Don't you get it? He knows deep beyond how you feel today. He knows what's going on in the real you. Your soul. He knows. Oh yeah, when I was 16 years old, if somebody would have said, you know what, one of these days you're going to be a pastor, I'd have said, well, I'm not going to repeat what I would have said. Totally. But I will say this. I would have said, are you crazy? I don't even go to church. I don't like church. I don't want to be in church. And church is a bunch of hypocrites. That's what I would have said. I mean, I was going to be a drummer in a rock group. I wasn't interested in any of that. But boy, I'll tell you what. Oh my, I would not trade for anything. All these years, God's used me as a pastor. Don't turn back from God's objective. Because if you do, you're limiting Him. He has something for you. It is the best thing in all the world. In Genesis 49, we're talking about fruit. Genesis 49:22, the Bible says this about Joseph. He is a fruitful bough. What's that? It's a branch of a tree that has fruit. All the fruit of Joseph's life, and I won't get into the whole story, but he had a life that was full of fruit. Why? Because he refused to limit God. He wouldn't limit God when his brother sold him as a slave. He wouldn't limit God when he was put in prison unjustly. He wasn't going to gripe. He wasn't going to complain. He wasn't going to tell God he hated him. No, he was just going to say, God, I love you and I'll do whatever you want. And if you want me sold as a slave, if you want me as a prisoner in prison, hey God, no matter what you want. And you know what? He became second in charge to Pharaoh. You know why? It's not because of Joseph. It's not because of his education. It's not because of his IQ. It's not because of his relatives. You know what it's all about? It's all about a God that can do anything. And when we turn back from God's objective for our lives, we limit Him. We say, God, I got it under control here. I'm going to get my BA. I'm going to get my master's degree. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but that's not what's going to make you, what is going to be the thrill of your life? It's Him. All those things that we do. I'm going to make $1 million. You know what? $1 million, millionaires die all the time of suicide. It's not about that. It's about whatever He makes you. It's about whatever He does. And when we turn back from His objective in our lives, we limit Him. We're saying, I got it under control. Look, would you rather have your puny abilities or His powerful, perfect abilities? Another thought in this, turning back from God's objective, is here's what we do. First of all, we limit Him on time. Every one of us does it. We limit Him on time. Huh? Moses, when he was on the mount with God, getting the commandments from God, when he was on the mount, oh, by the way, before he went on the mount, all the people said, we'll obey God. We'll do whatever God says. Hey, if God tells us that we'll obey God. Moses said, okay, I'm going to go find out what God wants. And he goes on the mount, but he's gone too long to the people. Yeah, people say, this is too long. Hey, he's gone too long. And the assistant pastor went along with the people. And they started worshiping another god. And they had a drunken orgy, complete with wicked music and the whole bit. You know why? Because they limited God on time. Time. Too long. It's too long. I don't want to wait that long. Do you understand Joseph? Much of his life, he was in a bad situation. It's too long. I wonder why there wasn't someone else besides Joseph. Maybe there were many besides Joseph who were sold by their brothers. Maybe there were a whole bunch like Joseph who were unjustly thrown in prison. I don't know. Maybe somewhere along the line they said, it's too long. Maybe you're here today and you've said, it's just too long. I trusted God, but it's just been too long. I believed God, but hey, it's taking too long. And you're going to limit Him because of time. And you're going to turn back from God's objective. I know young people that quit college. I know young people that go to college, get their degree, and aren't immediately doing what they think they should be doing. And they quit. And they quit church and the whole thing. And the town is full of people like that. I know people that take a Sunday school class and it doesn't go quite the way they think. And boy, at first they were so excited and, oh, you know, I'm going to do great things and all this. But it's just taking too long. When a day is like 1,000 years to you and I, a day to God, do you really think it's taking too long? And by the way, God's objective is more important than your clock. Limit on time. We get out of God's will because it's just taken too long. How about a limit on trouble? We'll put a limit on trouble. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, God, now I'm going to do this, but if it doesn't work out, what's that? God, I'm going to trust you, but if it doesn't work out, huh? That doesn't go together, does it? Kind of like saying, no, Lord. That doesn't go together either. Well, God, I hear kids all the time, I'm going to go to Bible college as long as I got enough money. I'm going to serve God as long as I have enough money. I'm going to get married as long as I have enough money. All three of those, you'll never have enough money. Never. Well, we'll have kids as soon as we have enough money. Forget it. Don't have kids. But we put a limit on trouble. Some folks, first sign of trouble, they're out of here. With Israel, first sign of trouble, they griped and complained. We need water. We need meat. I miss my garlic. And so what do? We say, I can't take it, and we draw the line. Truth is, you won't take it. You can take it, or it would never have happened to you. Amen. I can do all things through Christ. God has an objective for your life. You're gonna, because it's taking too long, you're gonna turn back. You're going to turn back because there's some trouble? Joseph was in all kinds of trouble. Yeah. I know, we like the story, don't we? We like the story. We like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't we? I mean, we love it. Wow, boy, they're thrown in the fiery furnace. Look at them. They're walking around in there throwing hot coals with Jesus. And we get all excited. And the first sniff of smoke of our furnace, and we're out of here. Because I can't take it. Oh, yeah, you can. You won't take it. You know why? Because you're making a choice. Ye did not believe him. And how many people are turning back from God's objective and therefore limiting God from doing everything he planned with your life? Limiting him. And then we also limit him on trust. Time, trouble, and trust. Typical words are these, if they ever make it to my office. I believe, but I submit to you, if that conjunction is in there, you really don't believe. Trust. We limit him because we just really don't trust. He has an objective. He has a plan. He has it all planned from the foundation of the world for your life. And because you just don't trust him. Look back at Psalm 78 real quick. Verse 19. Again, it's the same story. It's about the same incident. Notice what it says. Psalm 78, 19. Yea, they spake against God. They spake against God. What would cause them to speak against God? They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? We're out here in the wilderness. God can't feed us here. Well, let me tell you, the God who spoke and the planets were, and he spoke and there were trees, and he spoke and there were stars, and there were rivers, and there were oceans, and there were fields, and come on. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed.
Well, I'm thirsty. I can't get any water anywhere.
There's a God in heaven. It's against God to not trust. It's against God to not trust his objective for your life. You ought to thank God you're in a church where it's preached. God has a perfect will for your life. God has an objective. We're not just coming in here and just do your own thing. Everybody will be happy. Just do your thing, people. How stupid and how foolish. And oh, I know it makes people feel good. I wouldn't feel good. I got news for you when it's all over after you've done your own thing and there's no fruit and you missed out on what God had for you. I'll tell you, there are people all over, and I guarantee this, there's some of these teenagers, some of these young people in Bible college now, and there was a day they said, I just don't think this is for, I don't think I can handle this. I just can't do it. Huh? But they have parents that say, hey, stick with it. They have a pastor that says, come on, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Time, trouble, trust. Is that going to rob you of your family, your future, and your fruit? Turn back from God's objective by saying, or by the words, ye did not. And then the last thing. Number one, we limit God when we turn down God's offer. We say, the words are, ye would not. Number two, we limit God when we turn back from God's objective. Ye did not. Number three, we limit God when we turn away from God's omnipotence. Unbelievable. Back to Deuteronomy 1 and verse 35. Surely, surely, there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Do you see that? Surely there shall not one of these men. Why? Because they turned away from God's omnipotence. therefore ye have not. Ye have not. Omnipotence. All powerful. He is all powerful. Do you understand all powerful? The storm is raging. The little boat is being tossed out in the sea. And I mean, at any time, it's going to flip over and everybody's going to drown. And Jesus stands and just simply says, peace, be still. Pew! Storm ends. Clear blue sky. Beautiful. Not a cloud. At night, the stars twinkling. Peace, be still. Waves, perfect. He's all powerful. And when we turn away from God's omnipotence, we limit Him. Wouldn't you like to have God's power? I know we want it when it's convenient to us. Wouldn't you like to have it all the time? All powerful. Like David had it. Killed a lion, killed a bear, killed Goliath. David? Yeah. Yeah. But he turned away from God's omnipotence when he lusted after Bathsheba. God says to David, one of the saddest passages of Scripture, I believe, when David, is confronted with his sin. God, through his prophet, says, David, I would have given thee such and such things. With my power, David, I could have given you who knows? We sit here today so excited because we got our deal on Friday. I'm so excited. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be excited. It's all fine, but God says, I'm all powerful. I'd be glad to help you. I'd be glad to answer your prayers. God says, I can make everything happen. You stayed all night at a store to get your deal, but you can't spend 10 minutes on your knees talking to the God that makes the deals happen. I don't know. I wish we'd have kept a list of all the things God's given, all the deals, all the things God's provided with His power that'll make Friday look like nothing. And I'm not saying don't do the Friday. I'm just saying don't limit God's power by turning away from it. David had it, turned from it. God said, I would have given you such and such things. God can do anything. And when we turn away, we limit Him from doing anything in our lives. Sin? Oh yeah, it has its pleasure. Bible says that. But it's just a season. And oh, how much we miss during that season. Oh, how much you're missing because of your sin. Remember sin? Adam and Eve, the garden, fruit they didn't need. That's your sin. You don't need it. I don't need it. How much we miss of His power. His power in our lives. When Jesus was in His own country, the Bible says this, He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What? Well, yeah, they turned away from God's omnipotence. Ye have not. So He didn't do mighty works there. What if that was said about your Sunday school class? What if that was said about your bus route? What if that was said about your home? Well, I'll do it myself. Well, who's stronger? James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. And you know what? That's limiting God. Well, preacher, you mean just by not praying? You better believe it. What could you ask for from God today? I know things I'm praying for. I know there's a whole bunch of them. I pray for things that are simple. I pray for things that are very, very complex. Why? Because he's omnipotent. He can do anything. How many quit praying too soon? Yeah. What are you doing? You're turning away from God's omnipotence. It seems to me like if it meant that much to pray about it the first time, seems like it would mean so much that you keep praying about it. We limit God's omnipotence. God's all powerful. He's all powerful. We limit God when we turn down God's offer. Are you lost today? Are you lost? Have you had God's offer? You know God's offer? I mean, you're getting it right now. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For so many, the words will be said, ye would not. We turn down God's offer. We limit God when we turn back from God's objective. Ye did not. And we limit God when we turn away from God's omnipotence. Ye have not. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hard to believe we could limit God. Hard to believe that we would limit God. All that he wants to do in our lives, why would we want to limit him? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I do not know whether I'm saved. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not sure. God made a way. He provided a way. How many would say, preacher, I am a Christian. I am already saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something today as a Christian. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? God's speaking to my heart. Father, please help us not to limit you. Help us not to worry about time. Help us not to worry about trouble. Help us to trust you. God, help us to not limit your power, to not limit your pardon. God, I pray that we would not limit your plan. Help us not to turn back, not to turn away, not to turn down anything that you have for us. Please bless the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 277 in your hymnals, 277. Only trust him, and that's really what it's all about. If you need to come today and pray about something, you come as we sing. God speak into your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue. Still time, if you have a decision to make, something God has laid on your heart, please, 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 don't limit God. God wants to do something in your life. God has an objective for us. He has a plan for your life. You cannot. I don't care where you look. I don't care how hard you try. You will not do better than what God has planned for you. It's not possible. Cannot happen. Any others need to come, we'll have one more verse. Only trust Him. Amen. Pray for Diane Pfeiffer. This is Dan's sister-in-law, and in Battle Creek, she's in the hospital there, and she is in a coma on life support, and they are making the decision about what to do, whether to take her off of life support or not, even as I speak. So pray about that, if you would, as we are dismissed. And Don, if you'll remember that as you close in prayer. And Diane Pfeiffer, remember that request. And then don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock, many different activities. All of those are going on as scheduled. And tonight, 6 o'clock, Greg Shoof, missionary to Rwanda, will be with us, and we'll look forward to that. All right, Brother Don, close in prayer for us, please.
And 4:30 ensemble practice. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you have a plan for us. Lord, that you did everything necessary for us to be able to accomplish that plan if we would but trust you. Father, for salvation, trust in the Son, your Son that gave his life's blood in our place. Father, for provision, as we see from the children of Israel on a day-to-day basis that you provided for them, you could provide for us. Father, for trouble that comes in our life to mold us and shape us into your will. Father, may we trust you in every aspect of our life. Father, we pray for the Pfeiffer family as they are looking to you, I hope, now in trust concerning Diane. Lord, seeking your will in her life. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give guidance and wisdom to all involved. And Lord, selfishly we would ask for restoration and healing. But we know you have your plan. Father, go with each of us now, and may we follow your plan and not limit you through our lack of trust, our limits on time, our fear of trouble, but to follow in your footsteps wherever they would lead in each of our lives. We give you the praise and the glory for all that you do. Ask you to gather us again together safely tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.